Blog Talk Radio.
And everybody should know that's how love goes. It's good for the soul.
Good evening, good evening. Thank you for tuning in to the Healthy Soul Talk Show. It's your girl, your favorite therapist, Dr. Kimberly Thomas, coming to you live from taking the in the dog studio. Right?
Wait,
I haven't said that in a while.
Wait,
at the Ebenezer Baptist Church.
Oh, you're there. That's where you are.
Thank you for tuning in. All right, listen. Thank you. You're tuning in live. Welcome. Come on in. You know, do you ever get that sometimes? You just forget what to say. Don't do that. Don't act like
I'm a professional. I don't.
You don't make mistakes, huh?
Not like that. No. I'm a professional. I do that in my sleep.
Oh, okay. All right, then. Well, welcome. Anyway, thank you for tuning in to the Healthy Soul Talk Show.
Like
we have a great conversation coming up. We're talking about love and obsession. You go ahead and share this live. Thank you for tuning in on the Blog Talk Radio side. We'll have the number posted shortly to let you know where you can call in, tune in, press one. You know, we have to put some... just some standing signs here, right? Because I'm pretty... because now
you
I
had it a couple weeks ago. You had it. You came in. You had all the numbers.
I did, but you know I changed information sheet, so my top sheet is just somewhere at my office, and I keep forgetting. You know,
that was just not that important. I get it.
No, you're very important. You're very important.
Okay. Anywho, go forward.
All right, it's great to be here. So, checking in with you, my producer. You had a very interesting day today, huh?
You saw my video.
I was in the midst of watching it because I was teaching all day today, but I caught some of your posts. It seems as though you're a little traumatized. Are you recovering? Are you okay?
Yeah, I can breathe again.
You can
breathe. I am no longer bound by certain things. I can,
What?
I'm no longer near those demonic spirits.
The kids just had a little, situation. They had to release that. It's been,
No.
Good. Okay. How do you plan on handling that tomorrow if it shall happen again?
Oh, no. We're not concerned about it. Oh, no. Tomorrow's going to be a whole, tomorrow is going to be a new day.
Okay.
See, tomorrow is, tomorrow I'm coming in with Lysol, Febreze, and Clorox.
What is the Clorox for?
Every kid that comes to my classroom I'm going to be passing out Clorox as communion. And you might do a little shot just to clean out on the inside because there's something
wrong. Clorox?
I don't think it'll kill him. I just think I'm just trying to get all the...
They need a cola clean?
Something, yes. Yes, Dr. Thomas. Yes, they do. They need something fixed. And in a hurry. Huh? Come on now.
Oh my goodness. That was fun. That was funny. I was praying for you though, because I'm like, wow, the door's closed, or
y'all really praying.
No ventilation, or you just stuck with you to sit in your clothes. I don't know. What you had going on there. But hey,
yeah.
New day tomorrow. Okay. All right. So let's get into, talking about our facts here. You know, we've been talking about love all month.
Mm-hmm.
We kind of started in January, late January. And so I wanted to shift into talking about, obviously, what happens when love, becomes an obsession, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or what happens when we create an infatuation. Is there a difference between love and infatuation, right? And so I posted something earlier, and I was asking on the poll, can love turn into an obsession, right? And so far, everyone is clicking yes, right?
That, you put a poll up?
Yesterday, I believe.
You might talk to you for the
thank you, everyone, for joining us. Because obviously, reprimanded.
You We talked about this before the show went on.
Kind of like my intro to the week. Like, okay, expect to talk about this. Right? Anyway.
We had a conversation before the show about it. Go ahead.
Okay. All right. So listen. I found this fact. Uh-oh. Right? And it says here, men actually fall in love faster than women.
Oh.
It says it may be hard to believe, but according to a study from the Journal of Social Psychology, mm-hmm. men fall in love faster and express it faster. The reason behind this, according to the study, is that because men don't question their emotions like women do.
Oh.
So.
Wow.
It's right.
Interesting.
Men
fall in love faster
than women. Because it's suggested that men don't question their emotions
uh-huh.
like women do.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right? And so we talked about love last week. It's a feeling, right? It's something that, you know, you feel as it relates to certain chemicals being activated, the endorphins, dopamine, what he talked about, the serotonin, right? So all of those chemicals that get to rushing, whether you're touching the person, we talked about the five love languages here, and it says here men fall in love, right? You feel that the love bug more than women, huh? Mm-hmm. What you think about that?
That's interesting.
We need to do like a panel or something.
I keep trying to tell you, you know, you don't listen to me. This
you know, it's like a panel we should do. And it's just like poll it to see, you know, what.
But I'm putting this up here now. I'm not even getting a third option.
Okay.
He falls in love faster, men or women.
Men or women. Yeah. Got it. Yeah. All right. And so do you believe in the term soulmate?
Do I believe in the term?
Do you?
Here we go. Danny, get interviewed. Do I believe?
Because I have my own thoughts.
The COO, chief operating officer, is upstairs. Why did he ask upstairs now? Here.
I thought she left the field.
She went upstairs.
Okay. Well, she's been working all day now.
And I ain't been doing nothing but being gasless. She's like, I've been putting the gas tank. I ain't did nothing all day, but she working all day. What kind of?
Come on, so you all out there, right? Do you believe in the term soulmate?
I should put that originally.
Right?
Yeah.
And so I've always heard that term, right? Mm-hmm. I've always heard the term, hey, you know, whoever you marry or whoever, you know, you say you're in love with,
mm-hmm.
that you know, they need to be your soulmate. You identify them as a soulmate. But I really didn't get into what's the true definition, right? What's the meaning of
that's a good question.
A soulmate? And so I was like, okay, that'd be interesting for tonight. We kind of throw that term around loosely. And it says here that a soulmate is a person ideally suited to another as a close friend or romantic partner.
Okay.
And that was it. So I was looking for more, right? I was looking for this, you know, this is how it feels. This is how you identify, right? This is the criteria that need to be met for your soulmate. But it really didn't give much. And I was reading, and it was like, okay, so if it's a person that's suited to another as close as a friend or a romantic partner, how is that different from, you know, a regular relationship, right? Because where does the soulmate come in at? Because we take that serious in our culture.
Soulmates.
Right? You're my soulmate. You
okay.
know, we were destined to be together. We were, you know, God put us together. So, you know, no one else is for you.
Let
like
no
me.
Man put us under.
Right?
Two become one.
It's like, what if you identify a soulmate and they don't reciprocate the same feeling or the same intensity of...
Then they're not your soulmate.
Says who, though?
Because if they're your soulmate, if we're going to go with that terminology, again, I'm still debating on what my I'm going to give an answer at some point. If they're your soulmate, then that ought to be, that connection is there no matter what.
Okay.
So, you know, they
emotional connection.
It's going to be inbred, ingrained, inherent in them.
Okay.
I threw all those words together.
Uh-huh. Come on with your intellectual
just
self.
Just every now and then I use a degree. One of them. Okay. I think when people are when it's legit, I think people have a different mindset when it's legit.
Okay, So if we're talking about infatuation, obsession, mm-hmm. and being in love, right? And mm-hmm. so if you're in a relationship and you say to yourself, this is my soulmate, right? It's mm-hmm. kind of like the unspoken sometimes, because mm-hmm. I've met, you know, yet to hear what we sit down and talk about whether or not we are soulmates.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like an assumption.
Mm-hmm.
So if we break up, right,
mm-hmm.
then what do we do with that? What are we doing, right? Are you no longer my soulmate? Are we mm-hmm. not emotionally tied together anymore? Hence, what's a soul tie?
Mm-hmm. See, now that's different.
Right?
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah, that's different. That's completely different. That's soulmate and soul tie. See, soul tie is biblical.
Okay.
Soulmate is something else.
All right. Well, I just was wondering when you say this is my soulmate, when you introduce a person as your soulmate and you tell this person, you know, hey, I really feel like you're my soulmate, do you expect to hear it back? Right?
Wow.
Are we set up to where once you introduce it or announce it to your partner?
I think that's one of those things that's discussed early on, and you kind of find out up front.
Okay.
And you feel comfortable enough to say it, and you're okay with whatever the outcome is on the other end, because there's a level of comfort that you feel like you can express that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's my thought.
Okay. All right. Well, all right, you know, we're going to deal with what happens when you break up with your soulmate.
Yeah, okay.
Right? Where do we go? Like you push some buttons like nobody else could. You introduce something, you know,
right,
on a deeper level that I say
right,
no one else can provide. So I want what I want right now. And whether you like it or not, right, we were destined to be together.
Mm. That sounds like a Misery.
Misery?
The movie. That's all I heard when you said it.
Oh, goodness. All right. So we've been talking about love,
mm-hmm.
and we've been defining it, what it feels like physically, you know, emotionally. And so if we shift into talking about love versus infatuation,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
right? How do you know the difference, right? How do you know the difference between you're feeling love, you're feeling like you're in love with this person versus just this intense, short-lived passion or admiration for someone,
mm-hmm.
right? And so we have some comparison here when we talk about love versus infatuation,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
It says here that love is a devotion. Right, it's
mm-hmm.
something you're committed to doing.
Mm-hmm.
And infatuation is just an emotion, right? You're
mm-hmm.
feeling an intense passion, typically short-lived, towards someone,
mm-hmm.
right? And it says here, love you grow into.
Okay.
And infatuation you fall into.
Okay.
Right,
okay.
And what I
okay.
get from that
is
that. Sometimes, especially those who get out of a relationship and go right into another one,
mm-hmm.
where they're like, oh, this is way better than the previous one.
Mm-hmm.
And so now the infatuation comes in like, okay, look what I didn't, you know, look, my knight in shining armor, that, you know, just came and saved me,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
It's an infatuation because I feel like this saved me, right? This is meant for me because look what I just went through.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
And so, what you know, you fall into an infatuation. It's not something that's gradual. And I think that's the comparison that we have is love is a feeling of security, right? It's a feeling that, you know, it's reciprocated action.
Okay.
But it says here an infatuation is often supported with feelings of uncertainty.
Okay.
Right? So an infatuation is, I know what I feel about you, but I really don't know if you feel the same way. Right? And I guess I wonder, like, what's too soon to tell someone that you either love them, because sometimes we look at, when you tell someone, I'm falling in love with you, or I love you, as synonymous, right? It's the same thing sometimes, same thing.
What's too soon? When the check comes for y'all eating dinner on the birthday.
What? Wait a minute, you saying it or she saying it?
Oh, hell no. You know that, I mean, girl.
Hold on here. What is happening?
Huh? I'm just saying, you ain't trying to, you know. You know, every folk out there be trying to get your
Lord.
On after one night or something. So you gotta like be careful with some of these people. They,
what?
You know.
Have you ever been thrown off by someone telling you that nuts? You know what?
I know people that it has happened to though.
Oh, meaning
that I know people that
okay,
that,
so what
that,
I guess
after like a 1 or 2 days the person came back talking about some, you know, asking weird questions.
Like, what a weird question.
Like what size ring do you wear? And
really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's how we do these days.
It's a different world. And where you come from?
So there is such thing as too soon.
Absolutely.
Okay.
You don't think so?
I do. Out there too soon,
mm-hmm.
right? You risk a certain level of vulnerability.
Okay.
Right? And this is just me kind of processing, like, okay, if I feel like I'm falling in love or I'm in love or whatever term we want to use,
mm-hmm.
and that person is not there yet,
mm-hmm.
and I say it and they back off,
mm-hmm.
that's going to put me in a different mental space. Right? So I look at it as there's an appropriate time
mm-hmm.
to disclose that, right? Especially if mm-hmm. you're in like the I don't want to say the early stages of dating, but looking at, okay, is this really, is it love or an infatuation,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
If we're together, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9 months from now, mm-hmm. do I feel like I'll have the same feelings?
Okay.
Right? So I think that, you know, sometimes people put themselves out there and that other person may not be there yet. Not saying they won't ever get there, but sometimes that could scare,
mm-hmm.
you know, that could place a fear in people that we're moving too fast.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And,
okay.
and so, but I also look at how as a society, it's like the clamps go on so quick,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, okay, is this real, is this a real feeling
mm-hmm.
of love? Or am I securing my spot in this person's work?
Okay.
Right? And so understanding that, you know, I don't know, sometimes I feel like we act as if there's a shortage of partners, if there's a shortage of men. You know, it feels
unfortunately,
like...
Unfortunately, that's...
And shortage meaning... Let me hurry up and get in a serious relationship.
There's a modicum of some people believe there's a modicum of truth to that. They believe that there
is. I just learned a new one. Come on in now with the modicum. You know what I mean? That's a modicum of truth. All right, come on.
Y'all be trying to come to me. I feel like you're trying to compliment. It just means small.
Okay.
It just means small. It's just a big. It's a word. It just means small. You will not. You will not come for me. Y'all been trying to come for me for 2 days. I ain't going.
Oh my goodness. All right. So there's a shortage. There's a little truth.
Yeah, there is a shortage of a belief that there is a shortage of. A lot of women will tell you they believe there's a shortage of good men.
Good men.
Of good men.
Wholesome quality.
I ain't saying all that.
I'm just talking.
Good and wholesome is two separate things. If you want wholesome, go get you some dogs on break. That's all I can tell you. I mean, does it still make wholesome?
What's wrong with a wholesome man, man?
I ain't saying nothing wrong with it. I'm just simply saying, you know, you want good.
We want decent, right?
Right. I mean,
but
something, you know.
One with integrity.
Okay, there you go. There you go.
All right.
Just lie a little bit. Right.
Just lie a little bit. Okay. I'm joking. You know what? Welcome, Felicia. Welcome, Eula. Yes.
Oh, God.
I think
there is a thought.
Okay.
I won't use the modicum word again since you made fun of my word.
There
is a thought that there is a shortage of men, and then there is a there are some men who believe that not that there is a shortage of women, but there is a shortage of women who actually want to be in a relationship with a real or good man.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah.
Fair enough.
Again, this is my unscientific.
Fair enough. All right.
Yeah. What else?
Welcome on me. All right. So it says here, love is lasting, and an infatuation is temporary.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
It says here that love, you are in love with the person,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
With an infatuation, you're in love with love.
Oh.
Right. So it may not be necessarily the person that taking my attention or has my attention or the intent. It's the fact that I feel like now I have someone loving me.
Oh.
So I want
okay.
the love,
okay.
right?
Okay.
And so if I can't get it from that person that I feel like is the one,
mm-hmm.
then here comes, you know, some issues we're going to talk about with obsession.
Oh, okay. All
right?
Okay.
So
interesting. You got me.
Person versus love, okay? Love is strengthened by time. Infatuation is weakened by time.
Mm. So infatuation wears off.
Infatuation wears off.
Okay.
Now it doesn't give a time frame, if you will. It doesn't say, hey, it wears off in 3 to 5 years, because we know infatuation can get out of hand. But you know, the infatuation, the intensity of it eventually wears off, because guess what? You're not in love with that person. You're in love with the concept of love. So what happens when that person stops loving you the way they did in the beginning of the relationship? You were infatuated.
Okay.
So now you say you didn't fell out of love with the person. But we can say with an infatuation, were you truly in love with the person, or were you truly in love with the way they were loving you?
Hmm.
The action. So they did it right. Right? They you know, it's there are people out there now who invest in making people feel a certain way to get whatever they want out of them. Right? So
okay.
We know people finesse. People, you know, there are some men and there are some women who love or making a person feel good. That's their profession.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's how some of us get swindled and you know, bamboozled.
Well, the great prophet, Bishop, late apostle, Johnny Lee, wrote a song saying, looking for love in all the wrong
mm-hmm.
things.
Mm-hmm.
The bishop, but I just, but yeah, the controversial song, looking for love in all the wrong
yes.
places, right?
Yes.
Okay, well, there you go.
All right, so Felicia said, infatuation is short term, right? Mm-hmm. I knew two married people that had affairs, and when they left their spouses for the affairs, they didn't last. Absolutely. Right, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Especially, now to hear that too, like the thrill is gone, right? Mm-hmm. So you have two people.
The thrill is gone. Come on now. The thrill is gone. Hey!
So you have an affair with someone, and if they leave their spouse for you, sometimes you walk off because the excitement is gone. You were infatuated with the thrill, not necessarily you were in love with the person.
You said it was better when you were creeping. Hey, watch out.
I'm just trying to ask questions. Right, okay. So good point, Felicia. Good point. That's how you know the excitement is there. You're like, oh, okay, this is nice.
Mm-hmm.
Not a dust though.
Okay.
What are we doing now? We don't have to sneak anymore. You know, you don't have to spend money like you used to.
That's if it was infatuation.
That's infatuation, because the infatuation is the thrill of how you feel loved.
Right. But if this was going on and you're now actually trying to like make something with that other person, that's a different kind of conversation.
Right.
If there's actual love.
Love is based on shared experiences, beliefs, or attitudes. Infatuation is based on physical attraction or popularity.
Oh, okay.
Right? And so I believe, you know, we all know that there are people who get, quote-unquote, physically attracted to someone based on their status in community or status in,
mm-hmm.
right, society.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Not necessarily the person, but, you know, your notoriety.
We've had 20...
Your bank account.
We've had 30 people vote.
Okay.
On your poll. Who falls in love faster, men or women?
Uh-oh.
It's 50-50.
Really?
It's 50-50.
Come on now. Tell the truth and shame the devil.
50-50. Y'all trying to put it all off on us. About time we have some truth and tellers around this joint. Somebody speak the truth around here.
Really?
It's about time.
You men know they fall in love fast.
That ain't what the women is saying on here. And I think you got more female listeners than you do male. And they telling it all today. Huh?
Okay, all right. So it says here, love is not jealous, but an infatuation is the inability to trust. Okay?
Okay.
Love, you know you can wait to marry. Infatuation typically is based on sex.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Love, friends, as well as lovers.
Mm-hmm.
Infatuation, no real friendship.
Okay. No real friendship.
No real friendship.
So infatuation is just physical.
It's just physical. All
right.
You're in love with the love.
All
right. Right? You're in love with the love. It says here, last one, love. Want what's best for the other person.
Mm-hmm.
And infatuation wants what's best for themselves.
Oh. Okay.
Right? It's kind of like that selfish, you know, attitude.
Mm-hmm.
Attitude there. Right? So listening to that and looking at that, we get into, thank you all for joining us. We're talking about love and obsession right now. We're talking about love versus infatuation. The poll is on there where it says who falls in love faster, men or women. Y'all coming through on this poll. Welcome. And join in with the conversation, right? I'm talking about can you have an infatuation that masks, right, being in love. Can you actually psych yourself up to think that you're in love with a person, but really you're infatuated with this intense, short-lived passion or admiration?
They changed their vote.
They changed.
So now all of a sudden it's 67% men,
67%
women. Y'all do know this show is in a church, and you're lying. If you let me lie in church. Help y'all. Y'all need to stop.
Oh my God.
I'm
telling the truth.
I'm done. I'm sitting on that man. I'm done.
Right. So let's talk about obsessive love.
Mm.
All right. So we know that. Now listen. Now if you look up a disorder for love, And oddly, I found this. This is not a disorder, right? There's no such clinical disorder for obsessive love, but there is something out there that people are trying to evolve and help us understand. They call it obsessive love disorder. No, it's not in the DSM-5. It's not the criteria we have to assess, right, when we have individuals in the office. But these principles that they attach to it definitely make sense when you talk about how does it look when a person is obsessing, mm-hmm. right, over the person that they say they're in love with, right? So Felicia says infatuation can be dangerous too. You can tell yourself you see or hear things that absolutely may not have happened. It can be one-sided, definitely. And we're about to get into that right now. Like, okay, you know, when you start to obsess, you begin to see things that person is not doing, mm-hmm. and you're creating your own space. So here are some symptoms of obsessive love. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
An overwhelming attraction to one person. Now, you may say, okay, what does that look like when you're overwhelmingly attracted to one person? And I took that as every time you close your eyes, every time, you know, you're thinking about this person, you're thinking about the attraction, that one thing that attracts you to them. And I will say it can range, right? It can range from if you've had a sexual experience with them or just spending time with them, right? Mm-hmm. Especially when you're coming out of, you know, a relationship and you jump into another. So when you think of overwhelmingly attracting to one person, what comes to your mind? When you say overwhelmingly attracted to one person.
Oh, now you want me to talk?
Yes!
Oh, okay.
You over there looking at the poll talking about something that's unfair right now.
They changing votes around here. They ain't fooling me.
So how can you be overwhelmingly attracted to a person? Like, what's too far? Now, let me put this out there for you all. Can you compliment a person too much on their looks? When you're in a relationship with them, and I'm just throwing some signs out there, right? Like every minute, texting, you know, or face to face, or when you see them, you are just overly into their looks. Is that a such thing as being overwhelmingly attracted to someone physically?
I guess that could be possible.
Because then we got to get to the object of your obsession.
True.
Right?
True.
So what if the object of your obsession is the physical physique of this person?
Then that needs to be worked on. Right?
By who?
See? I'm trying to tell y'all something.
All right, so think about that. Overwhelm.
That's what the man said. That's what you said.
Oh. That is true. Every time you close your eyes.
That's what KC.
All I see is the
KC. Hey, KC right? Said it. The bishop. Apostle KC said it. I'm going to go with the bishop.
Now, we know that obsessions are thoughts, right?
Yes.
So obsessive thoughts about the person, feeling the need to protect the person you're in love with,
mm-hmm.
possessive thoughts and actions,
mm-hmm.
right? And extreme jealousy over other interactions that they have, whether that's friendship, family relationships, even children sometimes,
mm-hmm.
If they, you know, have other parents, and then low self-esteem, right? So when you think about obsessive love, this is action, right, oriented in the extent of in your mind,
mm-hmm.
right? And so I encourage people, you know, as we talk about this, especially our young people,
mm-hmm.
right, a lot's happening among that population because of infatuation and obsession with the need to be loved, right? Mm. So we think about, you know, lack of home structure, no real, you know, parenting, meaning someone to show them appropriate love and attachment, mm-hmm. you know, a healthy attachment. So the first person that comes along to make them feel secure, right, can very mm-hmm. well transcend into an infatuation. Hence, that's all I think about now.
Mm.
Right? And mm-hmm. so you trying to leave me is not really going to work. Because you're fulfilling a need right now. Mm-hmm. Oh, Lord, what do we have going on in the watch party?
Oh, no, I'm just, you know, as you speak, songs pop in my head, so I'll be trying not to.
Oh, my God, Lord, welcome, Deontae. My producer's over here playing songs in his mind about love obsession, so we're going to see what comes out as we talk about obsession, right? In love, okay?
Oh,
and
God.
So when you think about possessiveness, mm-hmm. right, that's huge, because this is where stalking comes into play.
Uh-oh.
Right? And so we know stalking is illegal, but you have people who, because they're so consumed with the idea of love, which tends most likely to be infatuation.
I know you wanna
you, so let you go. Y'all bring me on the ease. I'm trying to help the people with infatuation.
Hey, I'm just, you know.
DJ over here.
I'm just getting ready.
DJ over here playing the song. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
I'm trying to help you help the people.
So being possessive, is that a turn off?
I think you can be...
fatal.
Yeah, I think it can be a little bit... I think it can be too much. I mean, it's one thing to be concerned and want to know where your person is and everything. I think
All right.
There's another thing where... Now, there's some trust issues in there. I understand that. There's
mm-hmm.
been some lack of trust or something like that.
Right.
But I think
right.
it's over the top when it's like, you know, you got to call them every, you know, you get the text message every hour. What you doing?
I, you know.
And I'm sure you've seen some of that.
And you know, I was just about
yeah.
going to that. So Felicia says, she's saying hello to the crew. Miss Eula says 2 weeks in a row, y'all cut. I am Miss Eula. I'm trying to be good, right? I'm trying to be on our best behavior. but when we talk about obsessive love, when we talk about possessiveness, here's how serious it can get. You know, some people go to the extremes of, you know, we have FaceTiming, right?
Uh-oh.
And remember, people deposit a lot. I'm out there listening to people, and
mm-hmm.
you have where this feature now has become.
It's taking the place of the phone.
It's taking the place of the phone,
yeah.
But also, if you don't answer my FaceTime,
uh-huh.
something is wrong.
Why you hiding?
And I've been there in the situation where I'm listening to people who say, when they FaceTime you, you have to scan the area you're in because you have to reassure them that you're where you're supposed to be.
Man, look here.
Right?
They call them background specialists. They call them background specialists. You call and talk to me, but you looking all over my shoulder.
Yes.
That don't look like you're blind.
Yes.
Who blind them is?
Yes.
That ain't so... Oh, yeah.
And I mean, they could be at work.
Don't matter.
If the seriousness of it is, you can imagine the conflict it causes, right?
Yeah.
Where you're telling a person not only they must answer your call, but they also must do what you say as
mm-hmm.
far as scanning the room. You have to assure them,
mm-hmm.
right,
mm-hmm.
that you're not doing anything.
Right.
So now I'm not a person anymore. I'm property.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right, and you own me. You're telling me what to do to make yourself feel good.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and then we have the concept where, and I definitely, you know, I haven't gotten this concept yet, but when you text me at 8 a.m. and we text up until the time, right, we go to bed.
Mm-hmm.
Just to make sure I feel secure that you're not doing anything, or this is how I know you love me. Do you know that, you could be texting all day long, mm-hmm. and if I take too long
to
texting
respond,
you back,
to respond, but
to
you
respond,
must be busy doing something.
Or I'm not in court.
Yeah.
Right? The guilt trip is,
come on.
Okay, you took an hour to get back to me. What were you doing? It's like, well, I was at work.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You do understand, right, that I just can't leave the floor, whatever type of work that you do, but that's the technology days that we're living in,
mm-hmm.
and you know, I think it's making it easier for people to practice
mm-hmm.
obsessive
mm-hmm.
behavior,
mm-hmm.
right? And obsessive is thoughts, and let me tag in compulsive behavior.
Mm-hmm.
So the compulsive behavior is texting literally 24 hours a day,
mm-hmm.
just saying, "Hey, what you doing?"
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right? Hey, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
Where are you at? Right? You on break yet?
Felicia says, are we talking about a dating situation, right, or no?
You know what, Felicia? I want to put both out there. Is that a healthy marriage? Is that a healthy dating relationship to text excessively like that? Right? So we know that, you know, the texting thing ain't been that long in existence.
This started before that, though. I remember this. I've always been a phone gadget guy, right?
Okay.
I always wanted to have the latest phone and everything. So I had got a divorce from Sprint back in 2001.
Okay.
And I switched over to Nextel. And Nextel, everybody knows Nextel. Nextel was famous for the chirp phone, the walkie-talkie.
Okay.
Feature. And I remember being in the club, and you could mute the walkie-talkie. So, yeah, it's a couple of, well, you could just have it open, whereas if something, like if I said, hey, what you doing? And it would hit you, and you would hit on your side. Or you could mute it, and then you would see something like, oh, hey, Kim is trying to chirp you, or something like that, right? I remember being in the club, standing in the restroom, in the men's room, at the urinal. Y'all pray for me. Standing there, and all of a sudden I hear, Body, why you answering your phone?
Who's talking?
Coming through, you know, which forced me to look over that dude and look down like, hey, bro, who in your pocket? And I said, wow. That's when it started.
Right.
It probably could started with beepers. I remember having a pager back in the day. I beat you four times. Why take so long to call me back?
That is true.
Like I ain't had no change for the payphone.
That's true.
You know, I paged you five times. You know, it's like how many times I got to page you before you call me back? Yeah. And so that's not new.
Right.
That's not new. And guys were doing it too, because when the guy bought his girl a pager, he bought her a pager so she can call him back. Not me, because I ain't gonna talk to you no way.
But do you think like in this shift that's coming about is
yeah.
it's happening soon.
Yes.
Right. So going
yes.
back to Felicia's, you know, point, dating versus a marriage, it's happening within the first 30 days, these obsessive compulsive behaviors. And I'm not talking about a disorder of OCD, but
right.
the practices of, is this an infatuation,
mm-hmm.
right,
mm-hmm.
you're having, right,
mm-hmm.
you're going through, or
mm-hmm.
are you feeling love, right, the actual process of, you know,
I wonder if part of it, that feeling of not wanting to be alone. And you're so
okay.
desperate for a relationship that you're desperate that if I'm not overly attentive,
okay.
if I'm not overly attentive, I'm going to lose her. Or especially for guys who feel like they've scored outside of their level.
Okay.
So they always
right.
check because there
okay.
is a level of, and this is for women too, there is a level of, what's the word I'm looking for? When you don't feel like at your best and you feel like it's in the level of when I'm not sure of myself. What's the word? I can't think of the words now.
confidence,
a lack of confidence. Well, okay. Insecurity.
Insecurity.
There is a level of insecurity there that makes them have to feel like I need to be checking on you all the time because I know I'm not what you're used to, or I don't meet up to you. And I know there's a bunch of other guys that's always looking at
you. Is that low self-esteem?
That too.
Okay.
That too. It's a combination of the two that causes you to go. Because for a guy, if you're an average looking dude, right?
Mm-hmm.
Regular looking old cat, right? And you score, you score a supermodel-ish type.
Supermodel-ish.
You know, video vixen type. You know, if you Sanaa Lathan, that's always been my girl, because Sanaa Lathan's like the girl next door. But if you score,
but you score that,
you feel like, man, I'm that way over my average right now. And you have a tendency to probably be like, I need to keep checking, making sure she's happy. I need to make sure this is this, because if I don't, you know.
And that's the infatuation,
right?
Because
if I don't, light-skinned dude gonna come in. You know, I'll be sure of them gonna come in. And snatch up out of here. You know, that's how it goes.
So Felicia says, I went on a date one time and the guy told me he loved me at the end. I grabbed my red lots of biscuits and ran. You know, if Felicia, we were talking about that earlier, that you know, when you tell someone you love them or you're falling in love with them, you know, the question was, but is there such thing as saying it too soon, right? Is there such thing as, you know, putting yourself out there or setting yourself up for rejection because that person may not be where you are, right? And so definitely I see that happening where I think society is setting them, you know, just tell them how you feel, right? Be open and upfront and honest. And we're talking like within the first 6 months, are you sharing true love feelings, or are you sharing the concept or the idea of feeling good just when you're with this person, right? Because it's an infatuation at this point because you're still, you know, getting to know them. And so we do have where looking at obsessive thoughts and behaviors, compulsive behaviors comes into play where, you know, you do the repeated text, emails, phone calls to the person that you're interested in. And it's like, you know, can you get turned off by excessive, right, excessive phone calls? Like, what's too much, right? Too much calling means what? Now, if I say, hey, I work, let's just say, typically 9 to 5, right? So you calling throughout the day, leaving messages up, call me back, and now you get agitated or frustrated, is that love or is that an obsession? Is that an infatuation with the idea that you need to talk to me right now, right? So let me pause. Thank you all for joining, tuning in. We're talking about love and obsession. We just got to the part of, you know, what love versus obsessive and compulsive behaviors. And so what do these things look like? And so, you know, just kind of going through. Dr. Charles, welcome. Come on in. You're joining in. Say something now. That's my partner in crime and what in our training. So when you think about obsessiveness and what that feels like, how do you tell a person to stop calling you so much in hopes that they get it and not get upset and then start to do other things? That's a tough one, right? What you described, absolutely, Shanta. And really thinking about that comes earlier in the stages of dating these days, where if we're dating for a prolonged amount of time, and I'm talking within the first 90 days, there's just some unspoken rights and privileges that some people take on because we've been quote-unquote talking for that long, right? And so Felicia says, a thin line between love and hate. Absolutely. And so how do you work through that? You know, as a person, and I'm really feeling this energy in a relationship, and now I'm overwhelmed with thoughts about this person. I can't get them out of my mind, and I have to know their every move, if they're okay. You know, I'm constantly calling. I need to be reassured, right, that we're going to be okay. And so if you really listen to, I work a lot with young people. What I mean by young people is mostly 18 to 25, is really listening to them and how they view relationships in general, right? And in the idea that, you know, if we talk about a certain thing in the beginning stages of a relationship, that means we're going to be together for a while, such as kids. So what we used to talk about, you know, hey, do you want kids, right? What you know, getting to know each other, they take those conversations as, you must want to be with me for a long time. Here I am. You know, we are monogamous in you know, what they call it, one-on-one now, right? We're exclusive. So I do find where, you know, the younger generation, how they view these practices that I'm calling obsessive and compulsive, to some of them it may be normal.
Mm-hmm.
Right,
mm-hmm.
Normal practices of I'm in the palm of your hand, right? So if you have a cell phone, you have no reason not to,
mm-hmm.
right? Pick up. If I'm texting you, it only takes a second to text back.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
You know. So then you have where you're in a relationship, and now his friends or her friends become your friends.
Ah.
Right. So. A part of this behavior of obsessively, you know, loving someone is you now shift from what was once your support system, once your friendship
mm-hmm.
circle, to now your friends are my friends.
Kim Tony says, I think some people get a protective and concerned mate and obsessive mate confused, especially women.
Got it.
They get them confused. They get protective and concerned confused with obsessive.
Okay.
Got it.
I agree.
Got it.
Right, because concern versus obsessiveness, right? Possession.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, I just want to make sure everything is going well with you at work. But I answer phones all day, so.
Right. What else? Right.
What,
right.
What do you
there, think? I think there
what
is.
What happened to me?
Yeah. Just an update on the poll.
Okay.
We've had some of y'all are playing with the vote. It's now 50-50 again.
Well, are more people voting?
Yes.
Okay.
It's 50-50.
He said y'all playing with the vote.
I think y'all calling y'all friends, telling them to log on, because they not staying. Because see, the live numbers keep going up. Like, it was 28 people here one time. Now it's back down to 10, but I noticed that the people voted and then they logged off.
Well,
y'all
they
cousins.
Can still be looking,
this
right?
Y'all cousins. Y'all cousins in here voting.
That is funny. So Ms. Judith says, too much calling depends on the relationship. I used to get called all the time in a previous relationship. I got used to it and looked for it after a while. Okay.
Mm.
Okay. And then Shionte says, after one bad marriage, I set boundaries now. Great. Okay. And Felicia says, insecure, you have to observe people while dating. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
I just feel like it's to each his own, right? So,
yeah.
So you can imagine if I step into my profession,
mm-hmm.
right? I can't really take somebody calling me all day long, especially if you're gonna say, "Well, what have you been doing all day?" And I say, "Seeing clients," right? That right there would cause some serious issues. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Felicia said, my ex-boyfriend called the police for a well-being check because I wouldn't answer. What? After I broke up with him. Wow. See, that's serious, right? Because, you know, that's where he loved you, Felicia. He wanted what he wanted. Right?
Nice.
Sit the pawpaws over there.
I guess. Whatever.
But
whatever
that
worked for you.
But that happens when you think about the extreme impulse
mm-hmm.
behaviors that people go through.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, on a more serious note, you have people who are obsessed with someone or loving someone or being with someone where they often threaten suicide.
Mm-hmm.
Right? If you leave me, I'll kill myself.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like,
mm-hmm.
wow, that the guilt or the you know, emotional roller coaster that your partner goes through is, should I stay, right? Should I check on you? And so that's the guilt then, right? You stay with this person out of guilt because they are essentially threatening to end their life because you won't stay with them.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Obsessive love, right? By any means necessary, will you keep this person in your life. All right, it says here another behavior, another sign of obsessive love is difficulty having friendships or maintaining contact with family members because of the obsession over one person. Right? And when you think about that, you know, how does that look when you say a person is ending friendships or they're not going around their family as much because they're trying to keep up with that particular part? So every time they go to family's house, right, you're right there with them. And I have a couple of different views on that. When you think about, I understand family gatherings, holidays, but should you maintain some sense of individuality, right, even while in the dating stage? Because it's huge right now with the, okay, why you don't take me around your people? Yes, outside the house and wait outside the job. Got to be careful. And I want you all to understand, because we work a lot with, you know, we have a domestic violence program for the aggressor. Some of the practices for this power and control is literally, when you think about that concept, Ms. Shula, you sit outside the job for the whole shift. You don't go anywhere. Right? So really, what kind of mindset is that when you say, I'm going to go and sit outside my partner's job or my you know, spouse, we rock you right now. I'm sitting outside the job and I'm going to wait for you to come out. I've heard that a lot lately. Right? Sitting outside the house, sitting outside a relative's home where you think they frequently go to, or you know they frequently go to. Definitely where that is an obsessive compulsive behavior, right? Felicia says, pay attention to their family, right? The last comment, his sister told me to run, didn't listen, lesson learned.
Get
you,
out.
Go ahead.
Get out.
Mm-hmm.
Get out.
I think what I equate now with obsessive love is when I hear the term, you love hard.
Interesting.
Because that's the only thing I connect with. Like, what does it mean to love hard?
Interesting.
You know, like, is that not regular love? Mm-hmm. What am I doing above and beyond that says, when you love hard?
Mm. That's a good question.
Huh.
Hmm.
Why are you saying something like that?
Because I think the terminology love hard means it means they fall hard and they
what
don't.
What does that mean?
A fall hard means that when they're in. They're not like when they say they're in, then everybody else is out for them, meaning any that, you know, so and they're not looking, they're in, meaning I'm in and ready to build.
So we're talking about commitment. Like
yes, I'm
okay.
In and ready to build. There's a difference. You can be in.
Okay.
And then you can be in and ready to build.
So
there's a difference.
In my on my end,
mm-hmm.
the term love heart means within the context of I go out of my way to show you how much and how hard I love you. I'm 100% in, like my behavior, right? And I guess again dealing with the you know dating population, it's like. Once I see I'm really interested in you, I'm giving you all of me.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever that all of me is transitions into anything I have to do to keep your attention.
Mm-hmm.
So my investment is much greater than yours at that point because I'm the one with the feeling of I have feeling a certain way and now I got to love hard. I got to let you know how much, right, how intense my love is for you. But if we say love is growing into,
okay,
infatuation is falling into.
Okay. Okay, I'm with you.
Right? So that, you know, that's kind of been where I was with the love heart was, okay, love heart meaning in the beginning stages of the dating, if you feel like this the one, you're about to give it your all, right? Give them all of you as if you are in a committed, you know, exclusive, right, situation. What are you laughing at?
I'll still play a song and I change my mind.
I'll read some comments. So Felicia says the confusion may come in because at first it may seem like he's showering you with attention. Yes, and how do you know when it's obsessive in the beginning? And I think, you know, what I think about Felicia is going back, really, really going back to how you act, right? So, and I don't know what you all's thoughts or opinions about this is, but like within the first 6 months of dating someone,
mm-hmm.
I see people have thousands of texts.
Mm-hmm.
Right, thousands of phone calls. I'm talking like, you know how you used to date at the end of a work week?
Mm-hmm.
The requirement now is that I see you throughout the week.
Okay.
Does that make sense? So I think we shifted into like when we first get together, I need to see you all the time. Forget quote unquote dating in court.
There is no there's so many ways you can go with it. Because society and church has pushed marriage so quickly on people that they feel like, we need to go ahead and see each other as much as we can. Because if we start, you know, because instead of seeing each other once, instead of going out twice a month, I remember back in, maybe I'm going to tell my age, I just remember being back in the 80s. Let's see, I graduated high school in 88. So 89, 90, 91. If I was dating in the 90s,
mm-hmm.
you know, we went out on Saturday. We might have went out Saturday night to the movies,
right.
But it wasn't every Saturday.
Correct.
If I saw you during the week, it just happened to be something extra.
Right.
Right. It was not intentional. Now people are like, you know, what time you get off? What time you doing this? You know, let's do this, let's do that. And they're forcing it because people are anxious for. For not camaraderie, companionship. Thank you. It was a C word. I just couldn't get it together. They're anxious for companionship, and they feel like if I don't show you
want
anything in the beginning, but then you're setting a danger. This is what happens in relationships. You set a dangerous precedent.
Mm-hmm.
You do all that texting and talking when y'all just dating. And then once the relationship moves to the next level, whatever that might be, now all of a sudden you feel like, well, I'm here now. I ain't got to text you 12 times a day. Because I don't.
Right.
And then, you know, I ain't talking to my church folks, so y'all calm down. But if y'all living together, it's like, and I'm talking about the ones that ain't married, even if you're married, but we in the same house. Why I got to text you all day? I'm going to see you when I get home.
But that kind of falls into the, there's a mindset that comes
but
with that, right?
That's, based off what you did at the, there's an old saying, what you did to get them is what you got to do to keep them.
Okay. True.
You know?
True.
So if you were showing up at their job, meeting them in the parking lot, giving them a quick one while they was on lunch.
Okay, let's move on to these comments here.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Miss Euler says, I think loving hard is a real thing. I'm an artist, so I'm very passionate and totally committed. Got it. All right. Also says all in is from. She's just kidding, all right. And she also says I feel like loving hard is intentionally loving on purpose. Falling is an accident. Got it. Okay. All right, we own it today. All right. So it says here that another sign of obsessive love is monitoring the actions of the person.
Mm.
Right? Controlling where the other person goes and the activities they engage in.
Mm.
Right? And I'm talking even to the extreme of controlling how often you go see your family. Mm.
So you're talking about some...
Right? So we're tipping over into if you're taking time away from me, right? I don't care who it is at this point.
Mm.
right? You are taking over, you know, my space. You're allowing someone into my space, which is focusing on you. And so when you think about monitoring the actions of the person, like, and again, it's one of the things, how you feel, right? Right. How do you feel when someone constantly asks you where you are and what you're doing? Because what if I really don't want to tell you, or it's like I feel like a kid, or like you my parent, right? We do that with our children, right? All right, so Dr. Brown says love is a gradual process and real love is built over time. Every relationship starts with infatuation and builds from there. Yeah, people who love hard tend to try to force what is not naturally there. Yep. So how do you turn that switch off when that person says, you know what, this is too much for me, I need to back out of this relationship? People who have obsessive, right, love symptoms, they don't take rejection easy. Right? They don't take rejection easy.
My mind telling me no.
I promise you all, I'll be trying. I just try to be serious.
Huh? Make it though.
He just played R. Kelly by my ass telling me no. Just pray for me up in here, okay? But, all right, rejection is not handled well by someone who obsessively loves you, okay? Sternberg's theory of love explained that wonderfully. Okay, if you have a website, Dr. Brown, you pin that, you put it up there, I pin it. It's talking about feeling rejection, right? I didn't put all of this into it. And you got the audacity to try to, you know, break up for me or back off. This too much for you, right? We too deep. We moving too fast now.
What? You asking me for that? I just walked back in the studio. You see, I'm doing. I got 17 jobs tonight. Playing security, dough man, producer, choir director, everything.
What would you say to someone who feels like, if we go back to soulmates, if we feel like, you know, I want this person, right? Okay. And they're having a hard time accepting that this person does not want to be with them anymore.
That can be, I think it comes from people not being honest with people. And I mean that saying, here's where you can end a lot of that. If you decide to go out on a date with someone, I'm gonna help women for a minute, okay? I'm gonna help women for a minute. And please don't be offended with me. And if you got a problem with what I gotta say, email Healthy Soul Talk.
Really?
Yeah, email Healthy Soul Talk.
At gmail.com.
Don't come,
and I will surely forward your message.
Don't come
to Elder.
Cause don't come for
Dr.
me.
Dana,
but I'm gonna help the people right now. I'm gonna help all the people real quick. I'm gonna help the people. Why is my ex sister-in-law calling me? I don't know. Anyway, I got this all from my phone. If you decide to go out on a date with a guy, okay?
All right.
You have fun on the date, but you're not really into the guy. Right? So you go to dinner.
Okay.
You enjoy the dinner, but you're not into dating the guy.
Okay.
Right?
Further. Okay.
But you don't really express that to the guy. You say you had a good time. You know, y'all drive back in your separate cars, you hug, whatever, you might not kiss, whatever. Then you go separate ways. Then, you know, a week or so pass, now you're still in contact. You're still in contact with
the person that you had to date.
Right, you're still in contact with him. So now you're still texting, you're still going back and forth, and he now asks you out again. And you go, right?
Right.
So in his mind, things are progressing. In your mind, I'm just going to eat.
You having fun.
I'm having fun. Okay, fine. So you're sitting there and you're talking, whatever. Now, I don't know what the situation is going to lead to, but you're having these conversations.
Okay.
And so now, you at some point as a woman, you're going to know that he is into you.
Okay.
Right? You're going to know that, okay, he kind of feeling me or whatever.
Okay.
I really don't want to date him, but he cool to hang with. Right? So okay. so you continue going out with bro man.
Bro.
And you still you right. You keep going out with him. And now, you know, now you're going out on a regular basis. He is under the impression that you're dating.
Yeah.
That we're evolving, that we're growing. And you are like, it's something to do. Because I ain't got nobody until somebody comes along. And then all of a sudden, because you have not been honest up front that just really not there's really no connection, we cool, we just, you know, you haven't used those dreadful words, you know, we just friends.
Correct.
So then all of a sudden, instead of you owning up and saying these words, you just disappear.
But what is with okay. Okay.
Come on. You got to come
right.
on now. We flipping the script, doctor. We flipping the script. So we flipping the script. So now you know you've been the guy's looking like I've been putting in this work.
True.
That's the way the guy's looking. Yeah. I've been putting in this work. Yeah. I've been
You feel let off.
Right. You don't feel some kind of way. And if you don't say something or do something to quench that thing, then you're creating a problem where, as most men would be like, you know what, I'm up, I'm gone.
Right.
But then you create those guys who feel like, man, I was invested, you know.
Who took my place?
Or what's the deal?
What's the deal?
You know, and then now you're showing up at your door, I just have to be in the neighborhood. To me, you just have to be in the neighborhood. I live over here, and you live in Country Club Hills. What neighborhood you live in? You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, no, mm-mm. Shiante say, STD, my favorite phrase, something to do.
Hmm.
See?
Okay, all right. So we got to scroll up because some comments came in.
Shiante says,
I just ended a year-long relationship because he became too needy. All right, I'm medically retired. But I'm busy. Got it. Felicia says, men do that most. Women will tell you men avoid you until you figure it out.
Say what?
So Dr. Charles says, obsession is all about control and the signs are there in the beginning. However, we tend to ignore them out of fear of causing issues in a new relationship. And Felicia says, is there such thing as an ex-sister-in-law?
If he was married, and you had a sister-in-law, and your ex-wife becomes, if your wife becomes your ex-wife, what does her sister? What does her sister become? Help me understand. What does her sister become? Am I wrong in that? In my language? Help me. I don't know. I'm just
anyway.
What does her sister become?
She's just your sister-in-law. Why do you have to put an X on there?
You put an X in front of your wife. You still call your wife your wife?
Stop it.
Dude, seriously,
I'm not being funny at all. Y'all
trying to
crack a joke
around here. I'm serious.
You crazy.
I'm serious as a heart attack.
Oh, Felicia over there, she's singing. You got me hanging on the string now. I'm not your player.
Right.
Okay. Dr. Charles said men tend to overestimate a woman's interests or intentions, and
yes.
Women tend to underestimate a man's intentions.
See?
Right.
See?
Now, Dr. Charles, I know you tuned in earlier where, you know, I found this statistic that says that men fall in love faster than women, and they tend to say it faster because women tend to they don't question their emotions like women do.
So the poll is still 50-50 now. Somebody tell the truth around here. The Lord will prevail. Glory to God.
All right, so it says here, what happens when you have jealousy, right?
Oh,
and there's
okay.
a couple of different ways we can look at jealousy. So we know that there's a such thing called delusional jealousy, right? And this is based on delusions, where events or facts you believe to be true. It says here that it comes when you have an obsessive love. Delusional jealousy can cause you to believe the other person has reciprocated their feelings for you,
mm-hmm.
even if they've made it clear this is indeed not true.
Mm.
That's a huge issue, right? That's just that word delusional in itself, you know, means something where, you know, there's an extreme thought that you're having about yourself or something around you, but just to the extreme, right, that you believe that another person actually has feelings for you when you don't. Hence, you know, the act of jealousy or the feelings of jealousy when they are giving attention to something or someone else becomes more intense. Oh, my God. No. So, Dr. Brown, men only fall in love after sex. Fact, no, that's not true.
I can't even agree with you on that, Doc.
But that kind of goes with the fact, right? So even if you have sex with someone, you're trying to say you can't fall in love.
No, he said we only do it after.
Right. Cause
we say we're in love when we're trying to get sex. And men do say it first because we're trying to get sex.
Or men only fall in love after sex.
Well, I missed that one. Oh, Doc, really? Oh, no. Might fall out.
You're that smart.
You might.
Wait a minute. You fall.
You might be in love before.
Started up in here.
You might be in love before and fall out right after. What?
Y'all too, okay.
Well, hey, I'm just saying.
Y'all say y'all some male thoughts.
Hold on.
Finish with the whole kid.
I'm trying to help the people. I'm just trying to help the people.
So delusional jealousy, right? Is that what you actually think that someone, you know, is into you, but they're not, right? And mm-hmm. so we have mm-hmm. what's called... another type of jealousy where this can cause significant distress or impairment in your daily function, where this is a preoccupation with this person that leads to repetitive or compulsive behaviors in response to infidelity concerns.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so I think that kind of goes with, you know, what Dr. Charles says. Like, I think what's happening now, especially today, the reality is more people are having sex in the early stages of a relationship, which now transitions into, you know, you although we didn't say we were exclusive, if I find out you were with somebody else sexually, right,
mm-hmm.
we have some serious issues as it relates to infidelity. And it's huge. I wish I could just, you know, paint this clear picture. How intense it is when I'm talking to people who've been knowing each other, right? Less than 90 days, less than 6 months. Yes, they've been intimate, have sex,
mm-hmm.
and they didn't determine they were in, you know, exclusive relationships. Now this person feels cheated on, and they're devastated, right? I'm talking to the point where I can never, ever, ever, ever trust you again because you cheated on me within the first 30 days of us, quote unquote, knowing each other.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, you know, are one night stands still one night stands, right? You know, because nowadays we have where we meet the first 30 days, by the 45th day, we done moved in together,
mm-hmm.
right? And by 60 days, we like, okay, we acting like we've been together for 10 plus years. And so the expectation is there, it's heavy, it's real thick with, okay, what stage should we even be at? How should we even be acting if we honestly just met 60 days ago, but yet we're living with each other?
Hmm.
But we really don't know each other.
Wow. Okay.
Right? Mm-hmm. And so now, you know, we got this issue of infidelity, and it's like, wow, right? Can I really trust you? Right?
Mm-hmm.
Even
mm-hmm.
though we just met, but we serious.
Okay.
Right, we're in a serious relationship because your duffel bag is here, right? You And people get into these relationships for different reasons. So if you about to be, you know, evicted or you hopping from place to place, yes, we understand that people get in relationships for financial, you know.
For some security.
For security, right, for financial reasons. And so now, you know, should we have been roommates or should we, you know, should we have talked about this more before we moved in together? Because I didn't tell you I was going to quit, you know, having relations with all the other people I was before we got together.
Shit. I said it out loud.
Felicia says, some of these women that hit it and quit it with no problem. That is true. Mm-hmm. That's true until a guy comes and says, you know, no, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's mine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm here to tell you, I've just listened to individuals say, you know, it got serious real quick. And I try to help define that, like, what does it got serious real quick mean?
Mm-hmm.
Right? That you're now at you catching cases, right?
Mm-hmm.
For abuse physically. Or you're stalking, we breaking windows, we flattening tires, we doing everything, right, for the sake of it got serious real quick. Right? So does the serious real quick equate to you own me and I own you?
You touch my car, you're going to jail. You know, I'm having that conversation. You touch my car, you're going to jail. I'm pressing all the charges. I'm showing up at every court date. When they give you probation, I'm gonna be at the probation hearing.
If she's flattened your tires.
I'm showing up at every court appearance. You touch my car. Every court appearance. Go directly to jail. I'm showing up. If you got kids, I'm having your kids taken. I'm gonna tell you you're dangerous. All of that. Don't touch my car. That's all I got to say. That's all I got to say.
It's silly.
I'm serious though. I'm so serious right now. Wrong one, bro.
Oh, Felicia says, watch out for relationships around. Yes, broke boyfriends looking for, you know, what we call it, cuffing season.
Wow.
Right? You know, and this past Valentine's Day, somebody got dumped right after it was over with.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because, you know, they got what they wanted and left. Chiante says, a lot of women play the damsel card, playing into the man's hero complex. Yeah, yeah.
Captain Sabo. Oh, my goodness.
Anyway, so how do you help a person who you see is obsessive and compulsive with loving? Right. Obviously, this person may not realize what they're doing. So I'm here to say we have to help each other out, right? If you have that friend, if you have a niece, nephew, heck, even an auntie, aunt, uncle, right, and you see that they are engaging in these behaviors,
mm-hmm.
right, talk to them about, you know, what they're truly feeling. Because people are having nervous breakdowns these days, right, from being in these relationships where they want it so bad and by any means necessary, will they they want you to turn your bike off.
What I do?
Where you it's out of being desperate, right? It's out of, we talked about earlier, the fear of being alone, attachment issues. And you think about someone said earlier about being needy,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what happens when you going overboard and nobody's there to catch you because you're headed for what I call mental exhaustion, right? You could get mentally exhausted trying to impose love on someone and you're going through all these measures just to keep their attention,
mm-hmm.
right? And so really understanding that if you know someone, and, you know, in all seriousness that are, you know, demonstrating this, offer to get help with them, right? Meaning that, you know, come to them with whether that be a clinician, whether it be some, you know, other type of spiritual guidance, right? it's almost like help them see the light, mm-hmm. right? We have high rates of domestic violence. We have high rates of dysfunctional homes, right? Even when it gets to, you can imagine a single parent become infatuated with a man or a woman, right? And it's really like, okay, the children are at disturbance, right? The children aren't getting their needs met because this person is over here focusing their attention here for the sake of, I don't want to get old and be alone.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I just want to feel love. Right? You show me this attention. I want to keep that. Right? This affection, we talked about those chemicals last week. It's in overdrive now. Right? The way you touch me. And if you really listen, I'm here to tell you, you listen to people and how they say you make them feel.
Mm-hmm.
Not all the time is that a compliment.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because sometimes, you know, it's certain things that, you know, it's too much of, and this person is going to expect you to be that object all the time.
Get your colleague.
Get my colleague. What are you doing now? You want really good sex makes you fall in love. Great sex makes you upset. That's why you show up at the job and look for folks in the daytime. With
But y'all won't cut my mic off. Ain't nobody taking his phone away. Ain't nobody taking his keyboard away.
Is that the truth, though? We have to fight each other and tear each other's property up. And you know, Felicia, I don't want to say oddly or interesting, but some people are wired to where if we not... That's a sign of love, right? A sign of love is you're fighting this hard for us to stay together, or it must be destined for us to be together, because why else will we be, you know, this intense in discussion? So it's really a phenomenon to that thought process of, you know, so a lot of us can walk away if we have to fight each other, but there are those who really say, and that could be the way they grew up, that's what they've seen in their family, but fighting and destroying property is a norm. That's really how I know you really love me, is because we're going through these extremes here.
See, this is why people didn't come up with the right, being raised by the right people.
Okay.
And, you know, when it get that hard and it get that deep and y'all got to start tearing stuff up, I go back to the late, great Apostle Bishop Pendergrass. The prophet said it all.
Now listen.
The prophet said, let it go.
They don't even make music like this anymore.
No, because they don't
know. Because Jasmine said, I bust the windows out the car.
See?
Right?
See? I'm done.
So yes. All right, so we got it. So listen, take care of your people. Right? Don't let your girl fall. Don't let your guy fall, right? Really be there for them and say, hey, listen, you know, I just want to put this out there, right? You may want to take a look at how you vibing in this relationship right now.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not saying they're going to listen, but I think that if we help each other raise awareness, that definitely would, I think, will open up the lines of communication. You said earlier, being honest in a
mm-hmm.
relationship,
mm-hmm.
That people begin to look at their motives, right, for being with someone. So yeah, if you have teenagers, if you have young people in your life, right, talk to them about when you say you love someone, what does that mean? Right? What does it mean? And when should you say it? When should you feel it? Is it a growing process, or is it jumping right into it, as we talked about earlier? Infatuation stage,
mm-hmm.
or be at the being in love stage, right? All right. So I think this concludes our love series. Right? I think we covered everything, right? We kicked off with, you know, talking about those who have issues with intimacy. And then we talk about, you know, the abundance of intimacy,
mm-hmm.
right?
Okay.
Last week we talked, what did we talk about last week? That was interesting, too.
Mm-hmm. I wasn't here.
The five love languages, right? And today we're talking about obsessive love. So tune in next week. We're going to talk about attachment disorder, all right? And what that means, attachment disorders along with addiction, all right? So until great people, in my defense, I was a teen. Okay, Felice says, ain't no love that I'm going to jail for. Yeah, and yeah. You now, Felice, you would think that's a deterrent. But I think some of our parts of our communities are so immune to the law, right? That it sometimes it just doesn't even matter these days. But people like me, Dr. Brown, we're out here on a mission to help raise awareness that, you know, love doesn't have to hurt, right? Love doesn't hurt physically. And there we go. All right, so you ready to check out? Or are you still over there trying to find songs to fit this topic that we're talking about? I've been trying to end the show, y'all.
I had a real good one, but it just I can't find it in my list.
Lord, it's really typing over here, you all. I'm waiting on my theme song to come.
Oh, your theme song.
Hey, I'm
going to work it out for me because I had one ready.
Jesus.
I had one ready. I promise you I did.
All right, great people. Thank you for tuning in live. Right? No obsessive loving. Be quick. Until next week, thank you all for joining us, okay? Be out.
And everybody should know that's how love goes.
Got a long way to go, but it won't
keeps
me coming back again.
In it, right?